Grace you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's about 40 feet between you and the next person on your rope team when you're traveling across a glacier. 40 feet. Your partners are there. In fact, they're behind you or in front of you, tied to you by a length of rope. The rope, as you may know, is your lifeline in case you fall into what's called a crevasse on the glacier, one of these yawning, gaping pits that might be lurking under pretty much any step that you take, hidden beneath a thin layer of snow. For that reason, you got to leave really early in the morning, usually around midnight, so that there's a better chance that the snow will be frozen and it'll hold your weight. And if it's cloudy when you go, if there's no moon and there's no stars, your entire world gets reduced to this small pool of light that's put out by your headlamp in front of you, and then the oppressive darkness that feels like it's encroaching on that pool all the time. Your partners are there. They're only 40 feet away, but it feels like 20 miles when you're in the middle of darkness on dangerous ground. And the point is this: darkness gives the illusion of being alone. Darkness is like that no matter where you find it. If you're on a cave tour, for example, the lights go out. You probably have been on those before. And if you're anything like me, as soon as the lights go out, my first instinct is to reach over and make sure the person next to me is still there. I know I'm in the middle of the group, but it feels very alone. Or when you're a kid and you got to walk down a dark hallway or something like that, your family, you know, is sleeping in the bedrooms on either side of the hall, but it feels like there's nobody for miles because darkness gives the illusion of being alone. Our Old Testament reading for this weekend, Isaiah chapter 9, it talks about a walk in the darkness. And what he's really talking about is the people of the northern kingdom of Israel. And darkness is a very good word for what they went through, the pain and suffering that they experienced during Isaiah's lifetime. I mean, during that time, these people saw as much darkness as anybody. They lived through evil kings. They lived through war. They lived through the destruction of their homeland. They watched everything that they would call normal life be destroyed and burned down right before their eyes. And then those who survived, those who made it through, they had to figure out what life was going to look like in the aftermath. They had to find a way through. And I can only imagine that that was darkness in which they felt very alone. See, darkness takes many forms. It takes many forms. Real darkness in your life does. But it always gives the same illusion. It always gives you the illusion of feeling alone. When you've got no idea what's going on with you. You know, you've been to a doctor and you're waiting for a diagnosis, or maybe you've already had the diagnosis and you've already had treatment and you're waiting to see whether or not the treatment has worked. That's darkness. And it gives you the illusion of feeling alone. Or when your relationship seems to be at its end. You've been trying to talk things through. You've been pouring yourself into making it work. You've been doing absolutely everything you can, and nothing seems to help. There seems to be absolutely no way forward. That's darkness. And it gives you the illusion of being alone. Or maybe it's not one event at all. Maybe it's the aggregate of stuff. Maybe it's a bunch of stuff that gets piled onto you in your life, and everything just builds. Maybe it builds and brings you to a point of depression and anxiety that you can't see your way out of. Depression that is so crippling that you can't even make it out of your bed in the morning. Or anxiety that paralyzes you from even doing the most normal, everyday things. That's darkness, and it gives you the illusion of being alone. But see, Isaiah chapter 9 doesn't stop with a walk in the darkness. It says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. See, when the sun rises on the glacier, reality gets revealed that you stand in this breathtaking beauty and your partners are right there with you, making sure that you're safe. When the lights come on in the cave, reality is revealed. You're in the middle of a group and your guide is there. You are safe and you are not alone. When the Son of God dies alone in the darkness, And then the light of God shines out of the tomb 3 days later. Reality is revealed that there is a God who loves you enough that he would take on flesh and enter the world and die in your place. That there is a God who is powerful enough that even the darkness of death could not hold him. And when that light shines into your life and into your heart, reality is revealed that you are not alone, ever. Because the same God who came and died for you, the same God who came to earth and took on flesh in your place, that same God said, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. That same God said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And so you know what God's people say in response? They say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. See, that light of God's gospel, it shines into the darkness of a diagnosis that may mean the end of your life. God's light shines into that darkness, and it says, I am with you on this long, hard road. And even when your time on earth here is over, I have made sure that you will be with me forever. You are not alone. God's light shines into the darkness of broken relationships. It shines into that darkness and it says, you are loved. In fact, you are loved more than you could possibly know. You are loved and you are not alone. God's light shines into the darkness of depression and anxiety. It shines into that darkness and says, you are valuable to me. You are worth sending my son to earth to die so that you could be mine. You are not alone. Darkness takes many forms. But the light of the gospel, the light of the truth that Jesus died and rose for you, that light shines into whatever your darkness is, and God reveals to you reality today, that Jesus died alone and in the dark for you so that you could live in the light of life, never, ever alone. This week we celebrate National Lutheran Schools Week. And what we're talking about this weekend, the idea of God's gospel light shining into our darkness, I mean, that's a key point in why Lutheran schools are a key part of what we do here at Zion. Because, I mean, you and I both know that when our kids leave our school, when they get finished with school, when they get out into the world, or whenever it is, you and I both know that they're going to face darkness. They will. Some of them already do. Health problems will occur. Relationships will fail. They will run into times of depression. They'll be hit by the problems and the darkness that every life has to face. Darkness takes many forms. The task of the Lutheran school, and the reason that we set this week aside to celebrate National Lutheran Schools Week is because, I mean, they spend every day being taught the beauty of the light of the gospel. They get exposed to that light every single day so that when they do face darkness, they know the reality that the light reveals that they are not alone, that they have a God who loves them no matter what. And not just because, you know, that reality is printed somewhere in the Bible or something like that, but rather that they know it up here and they know it in here, that they carry it around with them. I mean, in my book, that's one of the most important reasons for Lutheran schools. And I know it because it happened to me. See, this weekend we read my verse. It's a joke in my Bible studies that every time we open the Bible, I say something like, oh, we're going to read one of my favorite verses this week. And I do like a lot of them. But this weekend we read my verse, Psalm 27, verse 1. It's my confirmation verse. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? That's how it starts. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? It's my confirmation verse. It's something I could cling to. And you know why? Not because it's written in the Bible, but rather because it's in the Bible up here, in the Bible in here, right? It's something we carry around with us. In fact, I forgot about it for a long time. I had no idea what it said until it got dark and until I felt alone. And then somewhere in the back of my mind as I was searching, God brought to my remembrance that Psalm 27:1 was my confirmation verse. And I thought, I better look it up. And I better see what it says. And of course, what I read, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? See, that's when I realized that I wasn't alone. That's when the Holy Spirit brought light into my life. And what more could we want for our kids than when they face darkness, whatever their darkness is, that they know that the light is with them, that they are not alone up here and in here. That's why we celebrate this week. And by the way, you know who's saying those words in Psalm 27, verse 1? You know who's speaking that? It's David who writes the psalm. But you know who the voice is who's saying Psalm 27, verse 1? It's the voice of the church. It's God's people who are saying this. It's the voice of the people way back in northern Israel. They had Psalm 27 already at that time. It's the voice of the people way back in northern Israel facing the darkness of destruction. It's the voice of the person who faces the diagnosis that may mean the end of their life. It's the voice of the person who faces the end of their relationship. It's the voice of the person who faces depression and anxiety. And when I'm in the darkness, maybe mine is the only voice that I think I can hear, whispering, pleading even the words of Psalm 27, verse 1. But in reality, Psalm 27, verse 1 is the resounding voice of all of God's church from every age and every nation of the entire world, thundering into the darkness, shouting down whatever darkness they face, standing up together as one, the body of Christ, in the presence of a God who keeps them as in his stronghold every single day, no matter how dark it gets. See, there is strength in faith, and there is strength in numbers. But most of all, there is strength in an all-powerful God who came and died and rose for you. And there is strength in knowing that we stand together as the body of Christ, in him, with him, by him, and through him, and in the light of the love of the God who broke the darkness for us. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard our hearts and our minds, keeping them steadfast in Christ Jesus. Amen.